I just had a coaching call with a client of ours who is struggling between deciding which of two sales channels that she wants to really dial in on. She has two different marketing channels. One of them is something I'm not super familiar with. I mean, I know about it, but I don't know the intimate details of how they work. But basically a organic LinkedIn funnel where she posts a bunch on LinkedIn. Some of the posts have links in them. They join the list and eventually buy her $500 course. The other one is using partnerships, specifically lead magnet swaps, in order to get other people to email on her lead magnet. They click the link, they go to her, they opt into the list, they see a sales page, they buy. Basically, that's the funnel flow. So in the sales call, she came in asking questions about the partnership flow, because that's one of the primary channels that we coach our clients on. And the conversation kind of zoomed out, and we started talking about the merits of her business is around $100,000 a year, of if she should do both or just one, and then how you actually take one, pound it into submission, and get the thing to perform for you. It was a really good, really meaty conversation that had several really good points that I wanted to share here. First off, two main points. First is how to pick between the two channels, and you can really just do one to begin with. And the second one is the daily activity needed to get that first one performing at scale. So, I've kind of muted her name and different identifying details as we go throughout, but the meat of the conversation is really, really good. Hope you enjoy it. The end point is 100 units a month.
Yep.
So which one will get us 100 units a month? 52 weeks of planning is awesome. A book's awesome. None of that's 100 units a month though. So what is the effort needed and the activity needed over the next 6 to 9 months to get to 100 units a month? To me, that's the first question. Mm-hmm. And everything else serves that question. So what would link, how many posts, ultimately it's going to come down to humans that see the post impressions, mm-hmm. people that click whatever the CTA that goes to some landing page or lead magnet, I'm assuming in there. So yep. Impressions to clicks to opt-ins. So that's your top of the funnel, kind of like on LinkedIn. Those would be your top 3 points. And then I don't know if this is a launch model or evergreen model. You almost for sure have to have launches if you're doing courses. So then you're going to have some level of, you know, sales page visit, add to cart, purchase. So that's like, I don't know how many. I think that's 6 to 7 numbers I just rattled off. Like, that's kind of your funnel to the thing. We could map that. I don't know. We call it a 3x5, but you could outline that. The owner of that, so their job, really, you've delegated activity. You haven't delegated ownership. And I'm making assumptions here, but almost for sure that's been the case. You have people doing activities. Also, who cares about activities? The activities actually don't matter. What matters is those 7 key numbers that we just mentioned being hit so that units are sold. So currently you're the number owner of that funnel and you have people doing activities. What we don't know yet is where will it fail, because it for sure will fail. Like in month one, it won't hit the impressions, clicks, opt-in, sales page visit, add to cart conversions needed to sell 100 units. It won't happen in month one or two or three or four or five or six. You're going to miss it for 6 months in a row for sure. So when you miss it, what number is off and what is the acute activity we're doing tomorrow to fix that thing? Like that daily activity, we call that a 3x5. So it's 3 actions done 5 days a week. You track your data, those 7 points for you. You identify the first one that's red and you come up with 2 things you can do in the next 40 hours to fix it. You play that game of whack-a-mole for 9 months and you get there. The delegation almost always that happens, especially at this stage, is we delegate out a person writes this thing, a person posts this thing, a person sets up the page, but almost no one does the daily tracking and optimization to know what is broken and how can we strategically fix it. And sometimes those are small tweaks. Some it sounds like, hey, we're going to go from writing 4 a week to 2 a week. And task doers practically never do or think on that level. They do or think on the task level, but tasks ultimately don't really matter at all. What matters is like the actual numbers get hit and the channel owner, who's you, the big thinker, the one who can throw dynamite and anything that's stuck, goes and kills that thing and takes it home or delegates that thing out. I think friends have much oversimplified delegating out a new channel, in that it's kind of like most people delegate, like people that are into phone sales setups. They delegate out sales out way too quick. They think they can come in with a new offer and hire a salesperson and sell it. It practically never works, ever. Sometimes it does, but it's pretty rare, especially if you haven't sold hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars of the product. You don't even know what you're selling yet. And channel ownership is very similar to that. We delegate out the channel ownership to someone who's not an owner. They weren't hired as an owner. They don't think like an owner. They don't operate like an owner. And we wonder why the channel doesn't work. Like my friend, she has unknowingly, and I just did a hard redirect to her this morning, telling her this very clearly. It's like, just stop if you're going to do this. It's a waste of money and time. She's delegated out ownership of that paid ad funnel to the agency. And the agency is a channel owner. They buy ads. And they're not even really hired to even buy ads all that well. And she's giving them full ownership of the funnel. And it ain't time for that at all. We're not remotely, they're not that person anyway, even if you wanted to do that. So I think the caution is having that taken care of. I don't think it's that easy. It's not taken care of until it's had 3 months. Like you can't take it out of your one of your three daily core areas until it's done 3 months in a row of around $20,000. And then you can hire a channel owner because now they can come into a super mature thing and scale the thing from 20 to 100. And that's possible. So I think it just by definition is your core ownership item until it is mature and out of that stage. And you can have task doers, that's fine. But you're the one, it is in your primary creative brain space until it's there and it can't leave there. If it does, it will die. Or it'll just, lots of things will happen. Lots of posts will happen. Numbers won't be hit. You'll be annoyed. You'll get 6 months from now wondering why it isn't working. Like that's the track of that. But if you keep it in your primary brain space and you own the tracking and optimization of it, you don't have to do everything, but like you're in it though. You're not letting it get out of your primary brain space until it is mature in September. Then it will has a very high chance of working. If you give it to some contractor that might even be super seasoned, great agent. I mean, I don't know how many people have delegated out ad funnels to these agencies that are like award-winning XYZ, and it never works either. And they've done it 100 times because they're not the owner. They're just the task doer of a very specific KPI within that thing, not the full end result. In fact, usually they get paid off spending money, not making money. So it's like literally reverse incentives for some of those setups a lot of times. Anyhow, that's a long track, but
So when you say, when you're talking about like me having ownership,
yes.
you're talking about like daily tracking, optimization, having your eye on, like, are you talking about literally like looking at numbers and tweaking and adjusting based on what we're learning about the audience? Or, I mean, are you talking about a tech function or are you talking about a marketing function? I guess is my question.
Well, it's prim that's a good question. Primarily a marketing function or tech function? Well, here's my, I don't, because I could spend an hour talking about 3x5 in our daily optimization and tracking kind of mechanism. So I'll give you kind of a high level. And then whenever you pick one, we'll just like train you on that one. And you can go do like the tailored version for whatever the channel is. So it is, let me, yeah, I don't want to suck up all our time, but let me just show you one real quick. Which one would be helpful? Okay, never mind. That'll take us down rabbit trail. So primarily, the most core, this is one of my, again, well, the most core function that exists that I've discovered to make any marketing channel work is a, we call it the daily 3x5 ritual. And it's every day, it takes about 15 minutes to do. And it is log a couple data points, look at the funnel, and it is a little a table that shows you what should happen in the funnel versus what is happening in the funnel, and find the first number that's broken, and then come up with an action or two. And usually it's fairly clear once you identify the number. And I give you a bunch of examples of it, but specifically within partnerships. But and then come up with a couple things to fix it. So, for example, if you're sending out lots of pitches and not getting yeses to partnerships, you'll be able to see it in the table and you'll say, "Oh, great, my yes rate is below spec. I should be getting a 10% yes rate. I'm getting a 3% yes rate." So there's only a couple things that about fair factor into that. What am I saying and who am I saying it to? So let me go audit the people I'm talking to and let me go audit what I'm saying to them. And most of the time, it's not in who you're saying it to. Usually that's fairly intuitive, but it's what I'm saying. So let's go work on the pitch. Like let's literally copyright on the email. And you work on 5 or 10 of those and you get it straight and your yes rate pops up. So then you keep working down the funnel from, because in a partnership funnel, you have pitches, yeses, number of impressions from the promotion, clicks, opt-ins, and then whatever you're doing. Like for you, it'd be sales page, add to cart, conversion, or if you're running a phone sales funnel, book to call, picked up, pitched. So we literally, there's a table that has those points, those seven, usually seven main points in it. And every day we log the data in one tab. We then look at the table and see, all right, how's it performing versus what it should be doing? And then we find the trouble point and fix it. So in your LinkedIn funnel, if that were the one to pick, like we would just kind of scope it out. And we could walk you through this because I don't know those funnel types, but you could probably brain dump. We could form it up pretty quickly because you kind of know generally how they should work. And you would have a benchmark of how each step of that should work. Meaning each week right now, how many total impressions of our post are we going for? And there's a reality of the month of January, what they're going to be, and then our guesstimation of what June will be, but we are not in June yet. So like for January, we want to get, what was December? 100,000 impressions or 10,000 impressions. For January, we're going to go for 120,000 impressions. Great. So put that on the top of the sheet. And then we work our way down to what each conversion point should be. So all that does, it is really simple. No one does it. I've yet to encounter the business between zero in sales and 50 million in sales that does this with any channel. Anybody, like literally anybody. They either do one or two things. Either it's total guessing, or I'm thinking of one client right now who has a 27-page weekly tracker they call their pace report, who no sane human would ever read. And for sure, nobody could distill into anything worth doing anything with. It's like, I don't even know. They send me, and I'm like, there's no chance I'm reading that. I'm just literally not opening it. So it's like either one of the extremes, and most people, especially at your stage, are just like, it's just finger in the wind stuff, and you can't. And the problem is you chase ghosts with that and you stay in the mystery box, not the math box. So it is just deciding ahead of time, okay, what should happen? What is happening? Where's the first place that's breaking? And let me fix that. 'Cause for you right now, like maybe impressions are perfectly fine, but it is people that see the post to actually opt in. We thought that was going to be 2% based on knowing that really well, but currently it's 1%. Cool. So what are the things that get people to convert better? We move the link up further in the post. We make the hook more sexy. We make the lead magnet more crunchy. I don't know. There's those things. And we just optimize those. And we check it 3 days later after we posted two or three, because you have a pretty decent posting rhythm. So you can test pretty quickly. And like, oh, crap. Oh, now we're at 2.5%. Fantastic. Now we're at 3%. And that's sustained for a week or two. So we don't have an impression problem now. We don't have a click problem now. Now our opt-ins are low. We're going for 30%, but we're getting 10%. All right. So let's look at the congruency between the post, the lead magnet, and the lander, and make sure those work. Let's look at the lander itself and optimize it. Great. Now we're at 30%. Next thing is people that see the sales page. So we just literally work down the thing and get them all green. And now what practically happens is they kind of pop back and forth. They're going to just whack-a-mole them for a while until they just beat them into submission. And then the thing, like, you get the thing, you whack-a-mole it for 6 months, 9 months, and the thing just works really well. No one does that ever. It's like, practice, and it's not hard. Like, it's fairly simple, straightforward, and intuitive. It's just a grind it out thing for that period of time. So we would model the funnel, input data daily, check what should the model should be versus what's happening, find the first number that's red and go fix it. Do that for 9 months and it works on lead magnets or the LinkedIn funnel, either one. And I don't know the LinkedIn thing as much, but I mean, what you're saying is just basic attention. It's like running ads, except you're writing content for free, so it's just impressions at the end of the day that lend in a conversion down the funnel. Is this tracking, by the way? I don't want to keep rambling if this isn't
No,
helpful.
it is. It's
Okay.
a lot.
Okay, good.
It's a lot to think about, but I think it's
Yes.
the kind of specificity we have to start looking at because,
Yes.
I'm not in the mood to throw it against the wall and see what sticks at
No,
all.
that is a waste of time. And
Has
it's
to be.
probably the number one marketing lie, or I don't know, it's not intentional, but like, there's like find a spark, and that's real, and that's experimentation. Find your spark. And you've been around long enough, you know what you like, and you have a good sense of what can work. You don't need more refined intuition. You got it. Now, somebody who started yesterday, like my mom, and be like, oh, internet marketing exists. Like, okay, she has no refined intuition. She's going to take it for a minute, or she's going to listen to somebody and trust a lot and like go with it. But you know that. At this point, it is like we actually need to just put a ring on the thing. We need to stop dating and like marry the thing and go in on it. And rarely, like, the experimentation thing is just super overrated. Like, once you kind of experiment to find like your market, your channel owner fit, and like you have enough confidence it can work, and I'll transfer some of that to you. Either one of these for sure can work. Then it's just like, I'm gonna go marry it and it's going to work. We're gonna have a good marriage and we're gonna do everything possible. And like, chance of success in marriages like that are very, very high. People that go in with all the preconditions and everything, very, very low, because they're just halfway committed. So most of the time, failure in a marketing channel is I'm just halfway committed. I'm just testing it. And that means like, I haven't really decided if it's going to work or not, but it's going to work. We're just going to commit to that ahead of time. And we're going to do whatever it takes to make the thing work. And we have enough. We're not just guessing and hoping either. Like, we know we can put two dozen case studies on both of these channels to show people dumber. That's a bad word. People not as smart, not as seasoned, not as skilled as you made them work. So Amy for sure can make them work. And I know that's the case with lead magnet swaps, and you probably have the case studies memorized in your head of the other one because you've taught it for 4 years.
Yeah, pretty much. Okay. It's so funny because the thing I like to say is like people marketers are so good at going, oh, okay, that works. What else can we do? Right? It's
Yeah.
like, oh yeah, like they tick the box and they move over, and it's like,
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. Yep. And that's true. That's a spark. Got a spark. What are you going to do with it? Because a spark literally goes away a millisecond later. It's not a bonfire, and you need a bonfire. And the only way you get a bonfire is take that spark, keep sparking it till the fire catches, and keep feeding the thing. It takes work. It takes work to get there. 9 months of work of the 3x5 ritual, and you will get there.
And so, and do you think once you, or well, maybe you know, but once you have those metrics, I mean, how applicable are they to other channels?
Oh, they're super applicable.
Yeah,
Yeah.
okay.
Like there are different funnel types, but I mean, but very similar. And we can help you because we work in so many businesses. I've seen so much stuff. Like getting the benchmark metrics is fairly straightforward. And there is a little bit of a process with that. We'll typically model it out based on good data. And then every 30 days, usually for the first couple of months, we'll adjust the benchmarks a little bit. And there's a little nuance within the benchmarks that we could talk about, but usually the only like two, only two numbers that really matter in the thing. There's seven total, and you want to track all seven, but there's two primaries. Like for example, in our main paid acquisition funnel, there are the basic math is cost of booking times close rate equals units and CAC, or like how many calls are on the calendar, how much did it cost? Those are directly related because it's spend times cost equals number of calls on the calendar. So we try to get everything just to a basic math equation, by the way, and just demystifies the entire thing. So for us, our first key number in our funnel is cost per a booking. And our goal is $135 because we do everything you do, but just to a call, we talk to a salesperson. So $135. And on the cold funnel, the goal close rate is 6.5%. So you can just literally do the math. 135 divided by 0.065 is a CAC of $2,000. It takes us $2,000 to acquire a customer with our benchmark metrics. Actually, I think our number is 1,800. So one of those numbers must be slightly different than I'm rattling off at the top of my head. But you get the basic point. So when we evaluate this channel every day, we look at the benchmark. We take about 10 minutes. And now there's an owner who looks at it all the time. But like the leadership team looks at the primary scale channel every day and does a quick evaluation, and the person goes on their way. Because you don't want to do that generally in isolation because you can do weird stuff and convince yourself of stories that are just not true. And we have plenty of that. We had one this week of that. We thought a thing was true and we dug a layer deep and it's like, nope, we've been optimizing the wrong thing for 2 weeks. And we teach this and rep it more than literally probably anybody. Anyhow, so in our funnel, back to the main point, there's seven numbers that we generate or somewhere right around that typically in every funnel. There's two numbers that usually matter a lot. In ours, it is cost per booking and close rate. So when I look at mine, I look at all the numbers, but I look at those two first. And usually there's two or three numbers that lead up to each of those numbers. So for us, cost per thousand impressions, clicks, opt-ins, lead to booking. Those are the three numbers preceding the booking cost. So if the booking cost is on spec, but one of the other three numbers is off spec, I don't really care. If the CPM on Facebook is high that day, the cost per booking ultimately led to being lower, great, cool. Don't adjust anything. Do your thing. Same thing with sales call. There's three or four numbers that precede a close rate. Pickups, pitches, and then closes. So if the global close rate is on spec, but pickups were low that week or pitches were low that week, I mean, who cares? It doesn't matter. We're not adjusting anything. Keep on going. So there's usually seven numbers, but within the seven, usually there's two primary that matter a lot. And we really focus on those. And if one of those are off, we look at the preceding ones and start adjusting those items. So for you, your first major one in the LinkedIn funnel probably for sure would be opt-in, your CPL. Or like just opt-ins, and there is conversion rate, there is cost of that convert anyway, whatever. There's three different variations of the number, but and everything above it, impressions, clicks are probably your two primary things that lead to an opt-in. So I'm going to be monitoring those, but I ultimately don't care how many impressions I get. Ultimately, don't care how many clicks I get. The thing that really matters is that email conversion. But those two things are direct functions of that. Like obviously feed that. So if I can tweak those two variables, it almost always leads to higher opt-in. So when looking at the 3x5, it's kind of like a P&L or balance sheet. After a while, it becomes like one of the three most important things you look at every day is that thing because it directly leads to new clients coming in the door. And you just learn to read it and adjust it, and like you would have any kind of financial statement or any other thing you read a lot.
That's interesting. And so, and you find that when you start a new channel, you find that kind of holds across. I mean, that's, or that's what you're sort of benchmarking or going for. Is that
Yeah,
fair?
let me just show you one. This is a paid funnel, so it won't be identical to yours, but I'll just kind of, you can have a visual to attach to the thing I'm attempting to describe to you. So this is funnel is very new. I mean, literally there's only, how many days is this? There's 9 days old. So this thing will be a hot mess for a while. Totally expected. This is just what it's going to be for a minute. It's going to take her 9 months to get this thing crushing. So this is where we log the data, and this is the math box. We never want to be in the mystery box. We always want to be in the math box. We always want to know, and you can ignore this. It's just a note I wrote to her this morning. You always want to know what, if something's wrong, what's wrong? So for her, for instance, everything's wrong right now, actually. This is what should be happening up here, and this is what's actually happening. So it takes a minute to read. So I won't walk you through. We could spend an hour just on how to read one of these. But basically, what I do is read down the C column. What's the first red that's wrong? Now, the great thing is her cost per impression is actually on spec. We've modeled this out as $30 an impression, and she's getting it for 25 bucks. So it's like, great.
That works.
Facebook is serving ads below the cost we guesstimated, but we built this off several different funnels that are like identical to hers and that we have good data on that are at scale. So like we know what the market's a little differently, but whatever. We make a few adjustments. So we know that's right. And then the next thing actually isn't all that bad. We know click rate should be 0.85 and it's one. So that's not wildly off. So I'm not too terribly concerned about that, honestly. And ultimately the click is costing on spec. It should cost three. It's costing $2.96 because the impressions were low, but the click was high. So again, I'm not really optimizing on clicks right now on ads. The first place that's wildly off is here. The registrations on the page they get to after they see the ad and click on it should register at 33%. And this is a webinar funnel. So they should register at 33%. They're registering at 13%. So the first thing I should do, and I haven't actually done this yet, so we'll do it real time because she just put her links in the other day, yesterday, is go to the registration page and literally say, like, all right, what's happening here? And I can tell you one thing that's happening to this page is entirely too long. Like, just cut like most of this crap out of here. It's just and this thing took a good, we just saw it real time, like 10 seconds to load. Make this thing load faster, strip off some copy of this page and cut everything from here down off. And I bet conversion rates go up to like 20%. That would be, as we're doing the 3x5 ritual, I would put this in the simplify registration page. Cut off the load fold. Make load quicker. Simplify copy at top. And I've done enough of these funnels. I would be like 8 out of 10 confident this would move the needle. I'd move this 13 at least into the 20s pretty immediately. It doesn't solve the problem completely. But what we want to do from this is identify the first number that's off spec. For us, it's registration rates. And what are two things I can do by tomorrow to fix it? Have a good chance. I don't know if they're to fix it, but there are two best guesses at it. And this is kind of like three things. I might just break that into three things, and that's the thing to do over the next 24, 48 hours. And that's going to probably move closer to green. We'll see where it goes. We'll give her ad spend. She has to wait like 3 weeks to know because she's spending nothing. So she's got to get her spend up. And then if her spend's at $300 a day, $200 a day, within a couple of days, like today's Thursday, by end of day Saturday, we would know if that just totally fixed the problem. And there's a good chance it will, actually. If that doesn't, the next thing I would look at is congruency from ad to lander. Because that's the other thing that would have, like, if we get a decently converting landing page template up, the only other thing that really affected is there's just a disconnect between the ad, the CTA, and the ad and the page itself. That's like, that's really like it. And if she fixes that by end of next week, she could be getting rid in her market. She should probably, our benchmark should probably be lower. She's kind of in a more B2C, like marriage counseling type of market. She can probably get registration for a webinar like below $5. I think we've spec'd this out a little high because we built this off of a kind of B2B, B2B type funnel. So I think in a B2C market, she could get a lower. I didn't have a direct comp in that, so I just kept it high. But anyway, so all the way back to your original question, how do you set the benchmarks? What we typically do is work together to make our best guess based on them. Now, if it's in a seasoned channel like lead magnet swaps, we just know what those are, and those are pretty straightforward. If it's a secondary channel like this, we'll model it off of ours or somebody close to them. And then every 30 days, we'll make minor adjustments. So if she had spent $20,000 on this, and this was 32, and this is 1.2, we would literally just change the benchmarks here. We would want the ultimate number that matters, which is this number right here and this number right here. These are the big benchmarks I was referring to earlier. We want these to stay the same or drive them down. Like if we ultimately run $30,000 of ads and this is $2, we'll just adjust this so this says $2 because like we know we can do that now. So there's a dance in the first couple of months of refining your benchmarks based on reality. And level of execution. So I don't know. That's the super nuanced in the weeds thing of running this, but that is a reality of how it works. So with this, we'll do that. Like as long as she spends at least 10 grand in the next 40 days by the end of January, we'll probably for sure adjust these benchmarks a little bit. Ultimately, though, this is the CAC number. This is how much it costs to get the client. We know where this has to be because the product's $500, and we know we want like a 2x collected return. So this can't get much higher than that. Everything else could change, and everything else doesn't really matter. Like all this are vanity metrics. How much it costs to acquire them and how many you acquired, Those are the things that actually matter. Everything else is just a KPI leading along the way. So we know, I forget her goals now off the top of my head, but you know, if she can sell, if it's you, 100 units at $250 or $280, and she's selling a $500 average order value item, we're making money, we're selling units, we're great. Let's scale the thing up. Try to get average order value up, try to get units up along the way.
Fascinating. Okay. This is kind of, I mean, you built this, I'm guessing, with somebody new, kind of on surmise and based on what you know and what you can expect from that product at that price point, I would think. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Like we could build this for you. I mean, we can build a 3x5 for you on partnerships immediately. For LinkedIn, we'd have to ask some questions and kind of you kind of walk us through some of your numbers and what you've seen, and we could get like this is the benchmarks up here. And I don't know, we probably have a dozen of these for different type of funnels. We primarily focus on partnerships, so that's primarily what we do. Occasionally, especially with people that I'll coach them off a little bit just to kind of develop paradigms outside of our main core, but it's all at the end of the day, it's kind of all the same stuff. If you attach the daily ritual of input your data daily, look at your math box, pick two actions to fix the first red, you can make any funnel work. And if your benchmarks are off, you will adjust them real time. The main thing is, well, not the main thing, but the first thing is like make sure you've gotten wise counsel if you aren't an expert in how you set your benchmarks up, because you don't want these to be off by like 1,000% or something. If they're wildly off, it's like if it's not possible to acquire a customer for a $500 course to marriage counselors for $280, but really it's going to cost us 7,000. Well, no
Right.
number up here matters. So you want to get calibrated, but you can just listen to podcast case studies from people and consult a few coaches and stuff and get this like pretty stinking close. I mean, that's assuming we don't exist. If we exist in your life, like we're going to calibrate you pretty stinking close. And as long as you adjust yourself every 30 days with under, you know, some advisement of some sort, you'll be totally fine. This never fails from these being wildly off. I've never seen it. It fails from someone not doing the ritual. Every day, log your data, step on the scale, admit to what you weigh that day, and adjust your eating and workout habits accordingly. And
You want truth?
you'll be
What?
where you're at. There you go. Confront the brutal fact. You do it, it works. You don't do it, that's when I gain weight. I went 2 weeks of a bunch of meetings and I didn't step on the scale and I gained 6 pounds. So like right now, I'm working my way back down. I was like, okay, here we go. I know the pattern. So anyway.
And is this equation like a pretty standard equation, would you say, for a paid funnel? Or that looks more like, and I'm talking here strictly about like the 288 to the total price point.
So this would be specific to webinar to course.
Okay.
The things that would change would be like webinar registration generally, like right now what we're seeing, paid ads to webinar registration and B2C market, you're gonna be around $5. B2B market, it depends on what level the B2B. Like if you're selling to more beginner crowd, $12-ish dollars is good, A plus performance. If you're selling more higher level B2B, like executives or you know, $10 million plus companies, that kind of thing, are going to be more in like the $25 range. So
Okay.
it would like if we were going to build one of these for paid, which we don't really ever do this. I have like two clients who are running these, and they're my personal people that I'm dabbling with. So, then I would adjust these benchmarks based on the market. But most people we encounter are B2C or low level B2B. So they're going to be in the $5 to $10 registration range. Everything after that, this is about if you're selling asynchronously on webinar, these are about going to be the numbers. And this is 9 months about, this is the point we're optimizing for 9 months down the line. You will not get this day one. So to be clear on that, this is when you're in crush mode, that's possible. The other thing that would change is if you're selling on the phone, this whole bottom of the funnel would look different. It would say, this would be a booking. This would be a pickup. This would be a pitch, and this would be a close. So if you attach a different back-end conversion mechanism, not a synchronous webinar sell, but, or you could attach a webinar to it, actually. There's plenty of people who run webinars to a call booking funnel. So all of this would actually be the same. ATC would change out for book a call, and then you'd have Bob on the funnel phone sales metrics down here of a pickup, a pitch, and a close. You'd want to track those. You'd have like, that's probably one of the more, there's just lots of milestones in that kind of funnel. There's like 8 or 9 points in that funnel you want to track because that's just the points of the funnel. So there's like phone sales stuff is kind of like they would have similar gradients of like, are you selling B2C, B2B, high-end B2B? And there's a few little adjustments you'd make there. But the top of the funnels, you know, if you take those, if the most simple format, if you account for that price point and market you're selling to and the type of top of the funnel, type of bottom of the funnel, you can cobble one of these together pretty quick for pretty much anybody. But
Fascinating.
this is the commodity. This is easy. I mean, we give this away all the time. I tweet it out all the time. It's like, Nobody is successful because they know these numbers.
Right.
Knowing them's good, but even that doesn't matter. Plenty of people that, I mean, Russell Brunson shares his free plus shipping funnel for books in his books, a podcast all the time. I've encountered zero humans who have run a free plus shipping funnel for 10 years like Russell has. Because, I mean, he probably doesn't do this specifically, but it does some version of this because they have the same free plus shipping funnels that have run for 8 years straight. That, the only thing that produces that, there's nothing that produces that unless there is one human or more doing this or a close version of this every single day. That's what produces it. And somebody, probably Russell, got the thing started, somebody took over, and there's a full-time group of people who are doing nothing but that. Because at the end of the day, it is just this. There are like eight numbers you got to hit. And if the math is the math, and when the math gets off, you got to fix the math. So it's like, just keep doing that. The thing keeps working. So he
So
gives
I
away
love
the
it.
numbers all the time, but rarely does anybody actually do it because this is the fundamental, this is the heartbeat. If your heart heart stops beating, you die. If you stop doing the heartbeat of the channel dies. Or
It just makes perfect sense. I mean, once you have product market fit, you have the, I mean, you know that the thing is desirable and it works, then it's really just
And this will tell
math.
you if you don't, by the way. Like most people take that way too far. And this will start telling you that very quickly because what you'll see is if you don't have product market fit, you're going to really start, meaning, just forget the fancy words, you don't know how to get people to buy the thing that you're selling. Meaning, when you present it, people don't understand it, aren't attracted to it, and they don't buy it. You will see the conversions right here suffer, meaning you'll have $6 leads, but you can't close them. People are attending. You're getting cheap leads, you're getting attendances, but add to cart and purchases are suffering. And you would just troubleshoot your way through that because there's only a handful of things that could do that. Like in a webinar funnel, you're going to look like, all right, are people getting to the cart? And if people are attending but not getting to the cart, well, let's go audit the webinar. What are we saying? And that's your pitch. Like that is the place where whatever product market fit is happens. It's where you say words that people hear and take action to buy your thing. And we're just going to literally audit. And there's only like a 10-minute section of any webinar that even does that. So we're going to look at the web. Did they get to the part where you started pitching? Yep, great. So it's nothing you said before then. Now we're down to 10 minutes and 1,500 words. What are those 1,500 words? There's probably, I mean, you know this is copywriting 101. It's probably like 200 of those words need to change, and all of a sudden people start buying. So let's just find the 200 words and adjust those over the course of a month or so. And then all of a sudden people start buying. It's like, great. So now we've narrowed in from like, it's not about ad spend, it's not about targeting, it is literally about, what are those 200 words and what are we saying? And that's where
Yep.
product market fit happens, or where people hear the words and are like, yes, I want that, and they buy the thing. They take the next step, at least get to the cart. So that's where this will just tell you where the problem is actually. Because product market fit can also stay this very nebulous thing that I don't know what to do. And I'd start doing weird stuff that has nothing related to it. And say all the branding work and everything is total guesswork right now until you get into the market and make offers to people. How many people have said no? Get offers in front of humans. You know, as a copywriter, that's the thing that converts. And a lot of times when people don't have the math behind it and aren't tracking it religiously, then we wind up doing things that make total perfect sense. But when we evaluate what the problem is, it's rarely that is the problem. Like in this funnel, well, there's a bunch of problems, but right now it's registrations. We were going back and forth and she's like, I need to get more attendees. It's like, no, that's not the first problem. The first problem is registrations. That needs to be fixed. Spend the next 3 weeks solving registrations and you will solve it. And then we move on to attendees. And we'll see if it's still attendees because right now there's three attendees. Make that five and you're at spec and you don't have a problem. And the numbers are so low that like you don't have enough anything to know if that's a problem really because the numbers are so just incredibly small right now because you're not spending any money on the thing. Same thing with like lead magnet swaps or partnerships. Like if you do four partnerships and you parts of the funnel up funnel of that, meaning the partners don't send out the emails or the emails they send out are kind of convoluted and don't make sense. We don't know if the page didn't convert because nobody got to it. We got seven humans there. So like, I don't know. Maybe the page is a problem, but we don't need to troubleshoot that. We need to go up funnel just one step to what the partners are saying. And on the next partnership, make sure they're saying clear, concise things that are attractive. Then once that's solved, then we can work down to the next step. And it might very well be a problem, but we just don't know yet. So systematically working through the thing so you keep clear what's the one thing that matters right now. Let me go just sledgehammer that thing into death until it's solved. That's the thing that makes it work, grow, and no one does practically anywhere. And people that do have things that work really well, you go dig into it, and there's just a gigantic luck factor. Because if they had to reproduce that, they never could. Or there's a person underneath the hood that's like really freaking good at what they do. But this is the way you grow it, scale it, make it maintainable, and get it off your plate. Most coaches and consultants who have a resource that they give away online aren't leveraging their thank you page, also referred to as a confirmation page, the way they should. Your thank you page is actually an opportunity to generate additional traffic to your website if you do the right things to make it go viral. This month only, I'm giving away my viral thank you page playbook, which includes everything you need to make your thank you page become a viral traffic source to your website, resulting in a lot more leads for you. You can grab it for free this month only at growthtools.com/free. Again, that's growthtools.com/free.